May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
This can be the so what time of year. After the intensity, and even though it was on Zoom, the intimacy of Ash Wednesday service and our Maundy Thursday service, after the shared focus of Lent, after the beauty and power of going through Good Friday to Easter, it can seem as if, well, we're back where we were. Nothing has really changed, at least not for the better. In fact, taking into account the terrifying toll of the pandemic, things have ostensibly gotten worse. We might be inclined to shake our heads and ask, what was all that about? What difference has it made to our lives as individuals and as a Christian community? All the focus, all the extra effort we put into our prayers, our devotions, our almsgiving. And what difference has it made to our neighborhoods and indeed to our world that we cared enough to participate the ways we did starting Ash Wednesday? Now in this Easter season, especially this Easter season, when our scripture readings and prayers direct us to the glory of Christ risen, we may not feel very celebratory. In fact, we may feel let down. Of course, that's not what the readings and prayers intend, but for some of us, a sense of emptiness and directionless, or at least of flatness, may be what we are feeling. But this sense of now what, so what, is also an opportunity to do what I think the Easter season in the church is fundamentally about, a time to ask, how shall we then live? Now that we have lived through Jesus' last days, now that we have celebrated and still celebrate Jesus Christ risen from the dead, how do we get on with living? That question is there every Easter season, but especially in this second COVID one. Our readings from the Gospel of John and from the first letter of John offer an answer to the so what question. And even though it is an answer that is probably not news to us, it's an answer that asks for an equal amount of focus and intention, as our devotions during Lent did. It's an answer that is simple, yet extraordinarily difficult. It's an answer that we know will make all the difference in our lives, individually and communally, and to our world, yet an answer that we readily mute. For what these early Christians prescribed for the so what lostness that looms post-Easter demands extraordinary courage and trust, steadfastness and openness, nimbleness and discernment. It's an answer that demands all of us, which is what makes it both simple and challenging. The answer has two parts, one that sounds passive and one that sounds impossible. Jesus says in John's Gospel, remain in me even as I am in you. If we hear this as an answer to the question, now what? It sounds almost like a nothing answer. Just stay. And the second part of the answer is from the first letter of John. Be as Jesus in this world. Love as God loves. Expect God's love to be perfected in you. That sounds impossible. Passive and impossible. I could stop there, but you know I won't. Instead, I'm going to try to unmute these answers for us. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, emphasizes that if we are going to blossom and be productive and have anything worthwhile to offer others, it will only be if all of who we are is sourced in Him. Jesus conjures the image of Himself as a vine's stem, which provides life for the vine's branches. Branches being those who believe in Him. And we had a beautiful visual of that in the first hymn. Jesus as the vine is the source of the two nutrients every person needs, life and love. Jesus says that He Himself is rooted in God, God who loves Him and is Jesus' life. Jesus is rooted in God, and believers in Jesus are rooted in Jesus. Jesus claims that as we stay joined to Him, as if we were branches attached to the stem of a vine, we will live and act from the life and love of Jesus and ultimately of God. That is a big and strange idea. Not the idea of vital dependence of vine branches on the stem of the vine, but the idea that Jesus is the only true source of our life and our love, that it's not our willpower, it's not our good intentions and good character that produce our life and generate our love. It is Jesus, who Himself is rooted in the life and love of God. This is an idea that we might grasp with our minds, but find it very difficult to send to our beings. To truly live from the life and love of Jesus, as if, like the branches of a vine, the very sap of our living, the only source of our life, of our love, is Jesus. An odd idea, this. That it's possible to be this intrinsically connected to Jesus. The idea that Jesus is not simply an extraordinary historical person whom we venerate and seek to imitate, but that we are actually really connected, vitally and truly connected to Jesus. That we cannot live or love without Him, at least not live God's quality of life and God's quality of love. How shall we then live? Jesus' answer is stay rooted in Him, or as the translation today put it, abide in Jesus, just as Jesus abides in us. This sounds not only odd, but passive. If we're looking for an energetic directive, some practical uplifting guidance for our post-Easter lives, this might disappoint. Darnella Frazier stayed. Last May 25th, Darnella Frazier stayed. She made a choice to stay and witness Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck until George Floyd breathed his last. Even though she wanted to run away for her own safety of body, mind, and spirit, she stayed. She remained and bore witness with her phone's video to the horrible thing in front of her. Her remaining transformed, we hope and pray, transformed the course of history. Remaining with Jesus is not passive. It takes courage and focus and intention. It means making active choices again and again to live from Jesus. It means reminding ourselves to recognize who is the source of our life and our capacity to love. And we will find that when we live joined to Jesus, we ourselves will be witnesses to the worst in our world in ways that have the potential to transform evil into justice. That's the other part of the answer to the post-Easter so what question. As 1 John says, we are to be Jesus in our world and to have God's love perfected in us. This seems both ridiculous and kind of thrilling. Imagine being able to be like Jesus in our homes and our neighborhoods. Imagine being able to perfectly exhibit the love of God. The author of 1 John asks us to do more than imagine, although we have to start there. The anonymous author, some have suggested the author might be a woman. The author tells us that this is the adventure believers are on. We know the love of God because we know God sent Jesus out of God's immense love for all of us. And knowing how much we are loved allows us to love the way God does. We know we live from God because, 1 John says, God has given us God's own spirit. When Angie Hawking talks about being the hands and feet of Jesus, I hear 1 John. I see those of you who give hours and money to the work of creating justice, living 1 John's answer. I know that those of you who use this COVID lockdown to pray, to pray for those who are needy and exhausted. You are living 1 John's answer. These foundational answers to the post-Easter so what question offer both frustration and adventure. So now what? Stay rooted in Jesus, and from that place, be Jesus where you are. Love like God loves, knowing that God has given you God's Spirit. If what makes us comfortable is clear, plottable directions, the first Christians who laid the foundations for the church disappoint. Of course, subsequent Christian generations and various Christian organizations have sought to limit that disappointment. They have produced codes of conduct and boundary markers, do's and don'ts, who's in and who is out. Jesus' words in John that equate keeping his commandments with being joined to his love have been deemed inadequate. Forgive my sarcasm, but I hope it makes the point. The answer to the so what question, stay in Christ's love, be as Christ, and let the love of God be perfected in you. That answer is frustratingly indefinite and sounds like an ideal rather than a practical guide. But if we try to remedy that frustration by replacing these expansive directions with particular rules, we lose the wonder of Easter. The resurrection of Christ is the creation of a new reality. Or another way to put it, Christ's resurrection is the revelation of what is real. The empty tomb and Christ's risen presence creates and reveals existence humming with God's life and God's love. Post-Easter reality sings with the nimbleness and spaciousness of God's love and the potency of God's life. That is where we live. We who proclaim Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, see that this is the case for all. And that's what we want to reveal to every human on this planet. God is love, and we can all love from God. There's no list of rules, but there is relationship. Jesus Christ and us, God and us, the Spirit and us, together on the adventure of love in the territory of life and only life, an adventure in resurrection life. Post-Easter, we embark on a great and expansive adventure, the greatest adventure of all, being united with the one whose life conquered death and whose love is beyond our comprehension. The adventure on our end is maintaining and deepening the union that is there. Abide in me as I abide in you. The adventure is allowing ourselves as individuals and as community to love the other in the same way as the one who gave love that is beyond our imagining. It wouldn't be an adventure if it were easy, if it were straightforward, or if it were without obstacles. We and all our fellow humans are facing terrible obstacles right now. Not only the pandemic, but what the pandemic has exposed about our social structures and our relationship to creation, and what the pandemic has created in terms of mental anxieties and economic tragedies. But we proclaimers of resurrection, we livers of resurrection life, we adventurers know that life and love are stronger than death and death's designs. And even if we can't be among the heroes on the front lines, we can participate actively by feeding on God's energies of love and life and giving from those resurrection energies in whatever circumscribed conditions we live in. This is a moment of opportunity to recognize more fully and more deeply the power of life in the face of death. Not only life after physical death, but a quality of life now in the midst of death, of God's life, which does not let us down or let us go, and which we can offer to others. This is a moment of opportunity to recognize more deeply from that place. We're not given rules for working with the resurrection energies of life and love. God trusts us to use our creativity and wisdom. And as we will celebrate at Pentecost, God gives us God's Spirit to help us moment by moment. We may not have Philip's dramatic experiences, like Acts records that happened on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, but we can be assured that God has not left us alone after Jesus' resurrection. God has given us the Spirit to help guide our actions. How shall we then live? We proclaimers of resurrection can be sap of life and love in this terrifying and grief-filled time. For we can feed off the most powerful energies there are, God's life and God's love. Beloved, let us keep on the adventure. Together, let us stay rooted in Jesus. Together, let us be Jesus. Together, let us love with God's love.
Amen.